I'm David Schreiner-Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Would you like to learn how you can generate more leads without struggling to deliver services to the clients you already have? What if you were taught how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage tools like podcasts, social media, and video in order to constantly bring in leads, sales, and keep your pipeline full? And what if you knew how to hire the right talent that'll help you scale your business and create greater value without being so hands-on? Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Michael Zapersky. Michael is a coach to elite consultants and CEO of ConsultingSuccess.com. He's a leading authority on marketing and pricing strategies for independent consultants. His previous clients include billion-dollar global organizations and top consulting associations. In addition, Michael has coached and trained hundreds of consultants as part of his Accelerator coaching program, and over 6,000 consultants have taken his consulting courses and workshops. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Michael, consultants, as you know, are subject matter experts, and very often they're not marketing experts. In your book, The Elite Consulting Mind, you write, "In the early stages of your business, don't outsource your marketing." Why do you think it's so important to do your own marketing?
Well, first of all, it's critical because you have to have a foundation in place. And the big mistake that a lot of consultants make is that if they try and outsource their marketing too early, they're assuming that some external firm or agency will understand their market better than they can understand their market themselves. And in the vast majority of situations, that is untrue, right? You know, when you are starting off really getting clarity around who your ideal clients are and honing a message that will get the attention and interest of those ideal clients is a critical, you know, first step. And that can take a little bit of feedback. That can take getting out into the marketplace, having conversations, learning what resonates with people, what doesn't resonate with them, and making those adjustments. And most consultants don't have the patience for an agency to do that, because when they go to an agency or when they go to outsource their marketing, they want to see results quickly. And that just typically doesn't happen. So I, you know, what really where we've seen the greatest success with our clients and in our own business over the years is getting that initial foundation in place first, in terms of who is your ideal client, ensuring also that you have the right message that will resonate with them. And then the other pieces of your business, like your service offerings and your pricing, right? Get that all figured out first. Make sure that it's working the way that you want it. You're seeing progress. You're feeling more momentum. And then at that time, if you decide that you want to scale up beyond what you're able to do yourself or to reach markets that you don't have access to or you don't have the expertise to really see a result in, then at that stage, that's when you should start looking and considering to outsource your marketing or get some expert to help you to improve it.
Right. And so based on that advice, I suspect that what you're talking about is actually spending a fair amount of time with live interaction with your target audience around marketing.
Yeah. I mean, there's no replacement for getting outside of the building. I mean, one of the greatest challenges that consultants have is that they spend so much time building things like their website, or they're playing with their logo, or they're working on, you know, their tagline, or they're updating their profile on this social media platform or that. They're preparing, right? They're doing lots of things. They're building things, but they're not actually getting out of the building. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to actually physically get out of an office and meet someone face to face. While that is a good idea, what it does mean is that you want to interact with your ideal clients. The consulting business is based upon relationships, and it's very much based upon having a conversation with a buyer. There's very few instances where a client will actually hire you without having a conversation. And yet so many consultants are doing everything they can to almost not have conversations.
Yeah. So why do you think consultants are so afraid to have conversations with their ideal client?
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection, the idea of perfectionism, you know, wanting to have everything just right. Because what if you say the wrong thing, or what if your messaging doesn't resonate, or, you know, what if someone says no to you, right? All these things are things that are typically going on in our minds. Yet when we really break it down, getting that feedback, regardless of whether the feedback is positive feedback, like someone says, yeah, this sounds great, let's have that conversation. Or if someone says, no, we're not interested in that. I mean, that provides an opportunity to ask, well, what are you interested in? And to really engage in a more meaningful conversation. All feedback, whether it's positive or negative, is beneficial for you and is valuable because it helps you to adjust and then to take the next step forward.
Mm. So if somebody's doing it the right way and spending a sufficient amount of time in interaction with their ideal client, what then happens?
Oh, you start creating opportunities to make offers. Those offers lead to proposals. Those proposals lead to winning business. I mean, that's really the whole basis and the challenge that a lot of consultants have. They're not taking enough action, and in many cases, not taking enough of the right actions to create the opportunity to engage in a meaningful conversation with a buyer, which means that they don't then have the opportunities to make enough relevant and valuable offers to those buyers and win business.
Right. Is there maybe an example or a story that can illustrate what happens when solo consultants do the right thing with regard to early stage marketing and they end up with great stable revenue?
Oh yeah, I mean there's many of those kinds of examples, and we work with hundreds of consultants, you know, helping them to put this process in place. But I can give you one example: a client by the name of Eddie, based in Texas, working in the oil business. He went out and, you know, he had expertise like all consultants who are good at what they do. His challenge was marketing. And even more than the marketing piece itself, it was, you know, once he starts kind of getting in front of people and he's able to set up meetings, how does he actually work with them to put the right offers in front of those buyers and then convert them into clients they can have a really meaningful relationship with? So he got clear. We took him through a process around that. He then went out, developed his messaging to get the attention interest of his ideal clients, put it in front of ideal clients, you know, just consistently. He sent some emails, made some phone calls, leveraged his network a little bit, introduced what he was doing and his value proposition for his business and how he could really add value. He landed 7 meetings in 1 week and he won 5 new clients. All because there's no, you know, no magical new technology, David, or nothing else that really made what he was doing significantly different from what others can be doing. It's simply that he had real clarity around who his ideal client was. He developed offers that essentially were what those buyers wanted to buy. He used the right language, and then he took the action to get in front of those people by setting up meetings, doing the follow-up that was necessary to ensure that those meetings were set, then having those meetings and navigating that conversation in an effective manner, and then making the right offer.
As you describe it, Michael, it sounds really simple. Yet I know from discussions that I've had with my audience and with my clients that many people just don't do this. Is there some first step that might make this seem a little less daunting?
So, you know, I talk about in my new book, The Elite Consulting Mind, this idea of really the formula for success in the consulting business. And there's two parts to it. So the first is competence and the second is confidence. When you have those two go together, you have confidence or competence plus confidence equals success. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're an expert, then you have the competence, right? You already have expertise. And even when it comes to your marketing, you may have competence. You might have gone through workshops, taken courses, trainings, whatever it might be. So you know, most people kind of have an idea of what it is that they need to do for their marketing or to grow their business. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, but most people have an idea. The big challenge that really holds people back from realizing their full potential, David, is that they lack the confidence part of it. And it doesn't mean that they themselves aren't confident about themselves or in other aspects of life. But when it comes to building their business, when it comes to doing business development, to doing marketing, they lack confidence. And this is where people then spend a lot of time in that place of like comfort, right? So they do things that aren't hard for them, that helps them to avoid the fear of the unknown and kind of getting out into those uncharted waters. But the reality is that you need to take that first step, because taking that first step with what you have, with, you know, the right plan in place, gives you the feedback. That feedback, regardless of what it is, starts to help you to make the appropriate adjustments. And then you're learning. And as you do so, I think we all know, right, when we have fear of the unknown or something that we just have fear around, what's the best way to overcome that fear? Well, it's to take the step forward. It's just to test it out. You're, you know, you're scared of swimming. Well, how do you overcome that fear? Right? Take some swimming lessons, like surround yourself with people that can help you to get better at swimming. The first time you do it, you'll find out maybe it wasn't as bad. And even if it was bad, you keep doing it, you keep trying, you improve, you get more and more comfortable. It's the same thing with your marketing. So the real challenge is that most people, even though they might know what to do, they're not doing it. So the what I would offer as the best step for people is make sure that you know what to do. If you don't know what to do, find someone that can help you to figure out what it is that you need to do. So that means you have a good plan in place. Then the next step is now to act on that plan, to really get out there, take the steps, do it consistently, create a habit around it. The same way that, you know, we wake up and we brush our teeth. Well, we've created a habit. You know, brushing your teeth is important, but working your marketing, working your business development, moving your pipeline forward is important too. Yet most people spend, you know, twice a day they're brushing their teeth, but they're not working on their business. Even once a day, in some cases, not even once a week in a consistent and intentional manner. And so I think that's a very big opportunity for people.
And Michael, what is it in your background that helped you understand the importance of these steps?
Failure, you know, learning the hard way. I think that's what all entrepreneurs and all business owners experience in one stage or another in their own way. You know, I've been building successful consulting businesses for over 18 years now. I've been involved in many different businesses and selling them and growing them and so forth. But all that comes with a lot of challenges, you know, riding that roller coaster up and down. There's days where you're feeling really great, but there's also a lot of experiences that on the face of it are, you could call them failures, but I really choose to look at them all as learning experiences. And I think that's really, David, what separates the people that struggle from those that are successful. It's that you look at what some people, you know, people that struggle look at it as failure, that scares them, that kind of holds them back, that makes them retreat or completely change course, so they don't really move forward with what their real desire is. But those that are successful look at, you know, okay, I got knocked down, that didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, but now I've actually learned what doesn't work, right? And so now I can make that adjustment. I can, if I need to get some help with it, I'll go and get help. Like, I just need to do whatever I need to do, but they keep moving forward and they don't let the fear, or they don't let the getting knocked down really hold them back from working towards the ultimate goal that they're after.
Let's talk a little bit about that process of getting help. So in today's world, particularly for business owners, there are, and the internet has, in my opinion, exploded the number of people that are able to offer their services to help people like those in our audience grow a consulting business. How do you know what the right kind of help is when you're stuck?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And you're right, there is a lot more options out there these days for almost any kind of purchase or any kind of help that you're looking for these days compared to before, just because information is now so accessible. So anyone can, you know, put up a website and make a claim. The first thing that I would suggest is, you know, that people really look to find someone. So whatever aspect of their life or business they're looking for help with or support with, find someone that has been there and done that. So if you're looking to grow a consulting business, as an example, find someone that has been there and done that in terms of actually grown a consulting business and works with consultants, right? There's a big difference between, for example, saying, you know, I want to learn strategies to attract more high value consulting clients within Fortune 500 or 100 organizations, and comparing that to somebody who has experience, let's say, marketing to entrepreneurs or working with spiritual healers or massage therapists or whatever else it might be, and, you know, and consumers. Very different approaches, very different markets. Unfortunately, these days, a lot of people will tell you that, oh, these are both consultants. Listen, they both add value to the world and they can both help people, but they're very different in terms of the approach that you would use to build relationships and the platforms that you're going to, you know, reach out to people on and so forth. So you want to make sure that, number one, you're kind of comparing apples to apples, in that find someone that has really been there and done that, that is helping you to get what you ultimately want, that is appropriate for your market. And I think the second thing that's really important is find someone that you feel good working with. It doesn't mean that they won't challenge you. They should challenge you. They should get you to be doing things that are different than what you've been doing, because if you're just doing the same things over and over again, you're probably not going to make the progress that you want. So you need to kind of step outside of that zone of comfort. But I'm just a big believer that it's important to find people that you enjoy working with, that you feel really get you as a person, that that can push you but still respect you, and that you feel respect towards as well.
That's great. And Michael, you also wrote in your book, if you've hit a plateau in your business growth, your mindset and your business model need to change. What's that all about?
So this is, you know, from my own experiences over the years, and I see this with so many clients too. You know, let's just take the example that you're getting started and you've gone from zero in revenue to 10,000 a month in revenue. What, you know, your business model that you used to get to that point and your knowledge that you used to get to that point, you know, it's got you there. So congratulations, that's wonderful. But will the same mindset and will the same business model take you from, you know, now from that 10,000 to, let's say, 100,000 a month? And in most cases, it won't, right? If you already have what you need from a mindset perspective and a knowledge perspective to get you to, let's say, 100,000 a month, or 200,000 a month, or 500,000 a month, or whatever it is, right? Then you already be well on your way there. But if people are kind of coming up against the ceiling and they're feeling like, well, I'm not making as much momentum or progress as I would like, I'm not as clear, that progress just, you know, it's not there, I'm not getting the results that I ultimately desire and feel that I should be, then that's a really good indication that you are either using the wrong model, the wrong mindset, a combination of both of those, and it just means that you don't have it yet, right? You're in new territory, and congratulate yourself, embrace that as a challenge, and then find whatever it is that you need, whether it's some kind of resources, some kind of community, someone that can help you, whatever it is, to fill in those blanks that you don't have, so that you can then see what you need to see to be able to take those next steps that will allow you to go from where you are to where you want to be.
That sounds great. Michael, how easy do you think it is in today's world to create a recurring revenue model for a consulting business?
I think it's easier than it's ever been before. We have technology on our side from just, you know, an actual implementation perspective, but we also have a plethora of services and products that people are now used to purchasing, where there's a recurring model in place. So I think that from a market and environment perspective, it's also, people are much more common with or comfortable with that idea. So there's certainly opportunity for people to explore that if that's what they want.
Right. And if that's what they want, I'm talking about for the consultants that are selling the service, if that kind of model is what they want, yet they haven't done it before, what suggestions do you have about how they should start thinking about approaching it?
There's John Werlow wrote a book many years ago called Built to Sell, which would be a great kind of primer to get your mind into this idea of shifting from services to products. But then he wrote a follow-up book called The Automatic Customer, which is all about how to build a subscription-based business. And that's, I think, it would be a very good guide for anyone that is interested in going that route. Just one thing to note is, like, that may or may not be the right direction for you. Some people, you know, are very excited about the idea of taking their knowledge and expertise, creating kind of a more of a productized delivery model around that, and then using that as, you know, or positioning it as a subscription-based model. So that might be taking, like, market research and selling that to clients. It might be that you're working by providing some kind of service or monthly expertise or calls or whatever it is, and that's going to be a great fit for that model. But it also may not be the right model for you. And so just because that model now is much more common and a lot of people have success with it in certain markets, may or may not mean that it's actually going to be a good fit for you as a consultant to grow your business.
Right. Now, you're making a very valid point, which is the business model really needs to fit who you are and what your goals are.
Yeah, I think, you know, these days, Dave, there's so many people out there that claim that, oh, you know, this is the best model, or this is, you know, the best path or the best tool or the best technology. It's like everyone wants to say that there's one best thing. Typically, the people that are saying that are promoting whatever it is that they're offering or their area of expertise as being the best. I'm a very big believer that's actually not the case. I think there's many different ways to achieve a similar result. But what's most important is finding out what works best for you. Some people love the idea of structuring a consulting business where they are bringing in a lot of employees, other consultants, you know, they're building the team and they're okay with the idea that they need a lot more infrastructure to run that and a lot more resources. But that model really energizes them. For others, that's, you know, that would freak them out. They've left the corporate world because they don't want to deal with politics. They don't like the idea of building a team. They want to work as a solo independent consultant or a very small firm. And they're much, you know, they're excited about working with clients, with, you know, at six figure kind of projects. And they only need a few clients like that per year to really create the kind of lifestyle and income that they want. So there's no right or wrong, but it is important to figure out what model, you know, what is the result that you want? How do you want to live your life? How do you want to work? You know, what's important to you from a revenue and income perspective? Kind of going through all that, then you can figure out what is the best model to help you to get there in the fastest way possible, but also in a sustainable manner. So you're not just, you know, having a quick success, then all of a sudden find that you have to struggle to get back up there again. Really building something that is going to provide ongoing consistency for you so that you don't have to, you know, feel anxiety and stress along the way. You have a real engine in place.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You have to find what's right for you. So that being said, this might be a good time for me to ask you our bonus question, which is, what are the actionable steps that you have found have been right for you in creating success in your business? And I'm going to ask you to hold your answer, because we're going to publish the answer inside our Facebook group. And as you're thinking about it, let's turn the discussion and talk about somebody else for a minute. And I wonder whom you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau.
Yeah, so one person that comes to mind would be Connor Beaton. Connor runs an organization called Man Talks that explores, you know, a lot of things about kind of being a man, but from a perspective of adding a lot of value to women as well, and relationships, and just looks at a lot of different areas of life. And I've watched as Connor has grown this organization. It's very inspiring to see what he's achieved. He spends his time kind of going back and forth right now between both Vancouver and New York. You know, he shared the stage now with many very well-known celebrities and speakers and so forth. But just seeing the way that he has moved his kind of idea and mission forward and grown it is a real inspiration.
Sounds like a great example. And Michael, what do we have to look forward to from you? What's coming up for you in the near future?
So the, you know, latest book, The Elite Consulting Mind, just came out. So very excited about that. And it's nice that it's, you know, continues to be a bestseller on Amazon in the consulting category. We have some new programs that we'll be launching coming up here very shortly. And our main focus David, is just to continue working with our clients in the Accelerate Coaching Program. And just we're excited to continue creating some really great results with our clients.
Sounds great. And Michael, how can listeners learn more about you, check you out, and follow you?
Yeah, definitely. So consultingsuccess.com would be the place to go for a whole bunch of free resources and information about growing a successful consulting business. Also, welcome people to reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn, Michael Zabirski, Facebook, or any of those other social media platforms. Always happy to connect, and would love to hear from people if they want to reach out and have any questions.
Sounds great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really rich discussion about what consultants in particular need to do to up their game. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us. My guest today has been consultant, coach, and author Michael Zapersky. Thank you again, Michael, for joining us.
David, thank you so much. Real pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion. To get Michael's answer to my bonus question, join our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, where all the practical tips our guests share on the show will be there, waiting for you to sift through and implement in your own business. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. We want you to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.